Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Thank you, Terry Barr, and welcome to our number three, numero tres, of the Todd Albaugh Show for a Friday, November 18th, 2022. Time is now 6 minutes past the hour of 11. Low 30s today for highs across the state of Wisconsin. A little bit of snow, maybe up to 2 inches if you're north of Wausau today. Otherwise, snow flurries across the state. Expect less than an inch of accumulation. Winds will be blowing, and it'll be cold. Like I say, highs only in the 30s. If you're headed down to Rockford area in Illinois, some slick roads down there as well. And then it's only going to top out in the 20s over the weekend for the first weekend of deer hunting in Wisconsin, gun deer hunting, and blowing winds. So the deer will hunker in the prickly ash, as they say out there in the woods. So, do so wherever you're going. Do so carefully. Aaron Zommers, our producer, along with us, as he is each and every morning. Mr. Zommers, how are you?
Doing pretty well. Just been digging around online, looking for places that might carry a windscreen for a handheld recorder.
Oh, yes. Here
because Todd picked one up, because there's the conference that we talked about yesterday with Tim Cullen.
Yeah.
And we're thinking about going, seeing if we can't record some stuff, talk to the people there. And
we're going to talk about that in a little bit later this hour. The Civic Conference at UW-Madison. We'll tell you where to go, the Gordon Commons, if you want to go there. It got underway about an hour ago and continues on through the day. Really good discussion on civility in our communities, in our politics, and in our media. So Aaron and I are going to pop down there and see if we can listen and maybe interview a couple of people for that and have those cuts for you next week right here on the Todd Albaugh Show. News for you around the country and around the state. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi stepping down as, of course, Speaker because Republicans took control by a seat or two, but she's also stepping down as the Democratic leader. And she announced a speech on the House floor yesterday, and I believe Aaron has a cut from her. We'll hear from Nancy Pelosi, if we might, on her thoughts and on the House floor yesterday and the speech. Telling people,
with great confidence in our caucus, I will not seek re-election to Democratic leadership in the next Congress.
And later on in the speech, she talked about passing the torch to a new generation of people in Congress.
For me, the hours come for a new generation to lead the Democratic caucus that I so deeply respect. And I'm grateful that so many are ready and willing to shoulder this awesome responsibility.
One of those apparently ready to shoulder the responsibility, Congressman Hakeem Jeffries from New York, Brooklyn to be exact, is set to be the leading candidate to take over for Democrats in the House to be their new leader. Jeffries has been in Congress since, I believe, 2013, and has been kind of a disciple of Pelosi. And she actually appointed him to be one of the prosecutors in the first House impeachment of Donald Trump. So has a lot of experience kind of bringing people together on the Democratic side. And so Hakeem Jeffries is apparently the leading candidate to replace Nancy Pelosi. Over on the Republican side, as they take control of the U.S. House of Representatives, it is a bit of a mess, to put it politely. James Comer of Kentucky, the Republican leader of the House Oversight Committee yesterday, who was set to be the chairman of the House Oversight Committee when Republicans take over in January, held a press conference talking about their agenda. And, you know, they ran on addressing inflation. They ran on crime. They ran on social values. And so what do you think the first thing is they want to focus on when the press starts asking them about their agenda? Well, let's listen to Mr. Comer.
If we can keep it about Hunter Biden, this is kind of a big deal, we think. If we can keep it about Hunter Biden, that would be great.
There you go. Can we keep it about Hunter Biden? That'd be great. It's kind of a big deal. Hunter Biden. That's all they want to talk about.
You know, I think we have heard enough about Hunter Biden. Like, there are more important things. If he did something that is criminal, sure, arrest him for it, then be done with it.
Exactly. My feelings exactly. For those who might not know, Hunter Biden, the president's surviving son, of course, his other son, Beau Biden, died a few years back of brain cancer and was the, I believe, attorney general of Delaware. And many thought that he would be on track to be a U.S. senator, possibly running for president himself. He was Iraq and Afghanistan veteran, served many tours overseas. He got brain cancer and he passed away. Devastating. He was the top advisor, really, for Joe Biden. And so Hunter Biden is an individual, like many people that you might know, people that I've known, who have gotten into a cycle of addiction. And these are not necessarily bad people. It's just that addiction happens. It's a disease. People can have these addictions. They get treatment for them. And sometimes it's successful. Sometimes it's not. But Hunter Biden has his own things to deal with. He's been forthright about that, as has President Biden. But the whole issue about whether he made money in Ukraine and whether or not there was something on his laptop, that's been looked at. And as Aaron said, if they want to look at that again and have a legitimate hearing on it and do it, then do it. And if there's something nefarious there that needs to be prosecuted, I'm all for it. But don't just attack someone over their personal life and they happen to have addiction issues to make a political cause about it against Joe Biden. Republicans just can't get it together. Anyway, we'll get it together with a board game with Aaron. We have some fun coming up on the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show for a Friday, the 18th of November, 2022. Happy to have you back along with us. And coming up at the bottom of the hour here, we're going to talk with State Senator Melissa Agard from the 16th Senate District. Actually, my state senator. So that's pretty cool. I get to have my own state senator who represents me in the legislature on the program here the first week. And she has just been elected as the Senate Democratic leader. So that's pretty exciting, and we're going to talk with her about the legislative agenda for Senate Democrats and also what you could do effectively. What's your role in the minority? Of course, your hands are kind of tied in that role, but it doesn't mean you can't get anything done. There are still things you can do, still ways you can advocate for your constituents and for the things you believe in that role. So a very important role. Melissa Agard joins us here in a few minutes at the bottom of the hour. And my friend and producer, Aaron Zomers, will join us in a bit. He has a big surprise. Well, not a big surprise, but a thing that he's passionate about. One of the things we talked about when we put this show together and we're going to be working together is we went to lunch and just kind of got to know each other and talked a little bit. And I found out that Aaron is an advocate and an avid player of board games. So he is working on bringing us one of his favorite board games coming up here in just a while. Next half hour, we're going to take a look a little bit, talk about, again, unity and how we bring people together. Telephone number, if you want to join in, is 715-388-7155. Again, the area code, try that again, Todd, take two. The area code, toll-free, is 715-388-7155. Give us a call. Aaron will take your calls off air, and then we'll put you on. And give us your thoughts on public education that we were talking with Dr. Jill Underly about, or unifying people as well. As we touched on right before the break there, Aaron and I, after our show, are going to be headed down to the University of Wisconsin-Madison for the Center for Communications and Civic Renewal Conference here called Renewing Civic Life in Wisconsin, Fulfilling the Legacy of Bill Krause. And if you don't know Bill Krause or didn't know Bill Krause, he was a longtime Republican communicator, but overall a Wisconsinite, right? And Bill Krause started as Governor Lee Sherman Dreyfus's communication director back in the late 70s, early 80s, and did a fantastic job, and then served in several different roles throughout his career. And at the end was getting a little disaffected by all the hatred and that sort of thing and vitriol. And I got to know Bill Krause because we worked out at the same gym. And the last time I saw him was with my old boss, State Senator Dale Schultz, and Bill Krause and a couple other people just having a beer and talking together. And the thing he believed in was, how do we make Wisconsin work? And we heard that from Dr. Underly. We heard that from Mayor Mike Wiese in Stevens Point today. How do we make Wisconsin work? And so those are the things that are going to be talked about at this conference. If you're in Madison, you can head down to Gordon Commons. It's free today. And you can hear the speakers, both politicians, government officials, university types, and media people as well. Aaron and I are not speaking. We're listening. We'll be down there, and we'll give you the reports, the deets, as the kids say. Do they say that, Aaron? Do they say the deets?
Some people. I say it sometimes.
Okay, well, if Aaron says it, it's cool then.
I don't know about that.
We'll give you the deets on next week's show. Also, we're going to give you the deets right now in a little fun thing we're going to try to do every Friday. Is a little game show. Well, not a game show, but an insight on the things you could do with your friends, family over the weekend. Play a board game, right? So we have Melissa Agard, Democratic leader of the state Senate, coming up at the bottom of the hour. But before that, we're going to check in with Aaron here. And Aaron, what fun board game do you have to recommend to our fine listening audience on this Friday morning?
Are you ready to spend this weekend unwinding with your family? Play some board games? Then you've come to the right place.
This is fantastic.
I don't know. I just thought I'd try goofing around.
I loved it. That was fantastic. Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass.
Gotta love them. I know I do.
Absolutely. That's fantastic, Aaron. Nice. Whoa, up on my screen. Go ahead. Introduce it.
Yes. So for those of you who may be watching on Facebook, I'm going to screen share the games that I'm talking about so you can see what they look like. So I chose two for today because both of these games are ones that I've played a lot of times. They're inexpensive, so they're very good gifts for people in the upcoming holiday season. And they're easy to play, and they're pretty quick. And they are both the kind of games that I will show family members or friends and then ask to hang out, and they'll be like, oh, can we play this one again? They're both card games, so they're small package, don't take up a lot of space. I just think they make very good gifts.
And it says, well, I've seen what I love, first of all, this first one says for ages 7 and up. So I feel fairly confident I can learn this one.
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah. And you can go lower than 7. Like, it's so this first game is called Exploding Kittens. You may have heard of it. It's been around for a while, so it's fairly popular at this point.
Say that again. Exploding Kittens.
Yes, Exploding Kittens. So if that sounds weird, I don't know if anybody is familiar with the old webcomic, The Oatmeal, but it's done by the same artist who did that.
All right.
That webcomic, not for children, by the way, just be aware of that. But the game is fine. Has a lot of weird stuff with like bears ripping people apart or exploding kittens. There are no bears ripping people apart in this game. There sure are kittens though. So
tell us about it. How do you play this Exploding Kittens card game?
All right. So everybody starts out with a hand of cards, and it is different from most card games in that instead of starting your turn by drawing a card, you end your turn by drawing a card. So your goal is to not draw an exploding kitten. And however many players there are, so let's say you're playing with three people, there will be one fewer exploding kitten in the deck. So there are two in the deck. So that there's two people who will draw one and lose because the kitten explodes and takes them out, and one person, the remaining person, wins.
And if you've ever been taken out by an exploding kitten, you don't want to have that happen again.
Yeah, it's not ideal. There are
no
cards
no can, real cats were injured in this game,
as far as I'm aware.
All right, very good.
Yeah.
So there's an exploding kitten card in here, and if you draw that, then what happens?
Then there are ways you can avoid drawing it, but if you do, then there are diffuse cards. Everybody starts with one, and any extras get shuffled into the deck. And you can immediately play a diffuse card, and then you get to put the exploding kitten back into the deck wherever you want.
Oh,
you could put it on top. You could stick it in the middle randomly, stick it on the bottom. You can count down three because the person three down from you beat you earlier and you want to blow them up. Anywhere you want, which makes for some interesting games. But There are cards that let you skip your draw for the turn, cards that let you cancel somebody else's action, or look at the top three cards of the deck before you choose what you're going to do for the rest of your turn. So it's just a fun time, I think.
Fun time is had by all, as my social studies teacher from middle school, Ken Lewis, who I want to have on the program, by the way, he'd be teaching, he'd say, and a fun time was happening. Usually it was something that wasn't really fun.
Oh, definitely.
And he'd say, and a fun time was happening. Kittens exploded, and a fun time was had by all.
So yeah, exploding kittens usually takes like 10 minutes for a game, pretty quick. Can be shorter, can be a little longer if you have a lot of people playing. Base game is 2 to 5 players. I believe there are expansions for more, but it is also another thing I like is that it goes up to 5 players. Sometimes you have an odd group.
If I'm there, it's a very odd group.
Well, me too. Let's be real. But
all right, very nice.
Yeah, $15 to $20 is what it runs for in stores. So
cool. $15 to $20, a reasonable price. Exploding Kittens. Next game.
Next game is Sushi Go. This game is about $6 to $10, depending on where you buy it. It is a drafting game. So everybody basically has a bunch of cards that are shuffled. You draw, I don't remember the exact number, let's just say 7 cards.
Oh.
And then you look at them, you pick one, put it in your pile, and then pass the rest of the cards around the circle. So what you're trying to do is assemble sets of different kinds of sushi or nigiri. Or,
oh, okay.
There'll be challenges like with the nigiri rolls. If you get a wasabi, then any nigiri that goes on it is worth 3 times as many points.
Or, what right here, wasabi? I think, wasn't that a Bud Light commercial? Wasabi, what's up, wasabi.
Maybe. I don't remember that one. But,
before your time, I'm old, but go ahead.
Yeah, other... so you're just trying to collect different kinds of sushi as you pass them around and take a gamble. Like, if you want shrimp tempura, you need 2 of them for them to be worth any points. So
I love shrimp tempura, by the way.
Yeah, it's good stuff. And the art in this game is very cute.
So it is.
You might not want to actually eat them. Also, they're cardboard, so that doesn't help either.
Right.
But
so the point is basically to assemble in your hand the matching sushi cards, correct?
Yeah, pretty much. And there's some different versions of it that are a little more expensive that contain different expansions, different kinds of sushi, different kinds of things. But the base game is perfectly fun on its own. I like it a lot. You can always just pick up more if you enjoy it. And since this one's even cheaper and it comes inside a nice little tin that's good for travel, it's a very good gift or a stocking stuffer.
There you go. See, who needs Oprah's favorite things when you got Zomer's game boards, right?
Yeah.
Exploding Kittens and Sushi Go, your board game tips for this week from Aaron Zomer's.
Yes. And one other quick note on those. Yeah. If you can, rather than order these on Amazon, support your local game store. I know Madison, where we're broadcasting from today, has a lot of game stores. They're all amazing. I don't think I've ever been to a game store in any city that was bad. A lot of really friendly people. So yeah, if you can, support local businesses and the game stores. You can even go and play games with strangers. And that sounds weird, but surprisingly it isn't.
But that is a cool idea, actually, because I know it's a big thing, particularly for younger people, I guess for anybody, but I'm not a gamer in terms of like video games. Like my idea of gaming, Aaron, was something called the Atari, way before you were born. Back in the 80s, was Pong. And
that's
I had Atari, and that was fun. Played that a lot. Played baseball on Atari with my neighbor Jeff back in the day in high school. But all the Xbox and the PF562 or whatever it is, I'm not that good. But so what my point is, people go online and play these video games with people they don't know. That'd be cool though. A good way to meet people is go and play a board game with people you don't know, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It is pretty similar to that, now that you bring that up. I didn't really think about that. But
meeting real, yeah. Not that a person online isn't a real person, but I think it's a different connection, right? When you're, it's kind of like what back, you know, where I'm from, we have euchre tournaments a lot. So in winter, you have a euchre tournament where you play different hands at different bars and you get a snowmobile and you go to the next bar, you know, probably not, you don't want to drink too much if you're snowmobiling. But the point is, it's a social activity. You know, you're going around playing euchre with people. You're connecting. You're finding out that we're all kind of the same across Wisconsin at the end of the day. Thank you, Aaron. Great job. We'll have more games for you next week on a Friday. We'll have more great news and guests for you. Coming up next, we have State Senator Melissa Agar, the new Democratic leader. Next on the Todd Allball Show, you're listening on the Civic Media Radio Network. The Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is a Friday, the 18th of November. Time now at 10:33, coming up at the top of the hour. My friend Kristen Bry and her fine crew will be along for As Goes Wisconsin. She's actually on vacation right now on a honeymoon, but she has a recorded show partly and a live show with her staff. So great folks there. Also great folks, great music there, Aaron. Thank you. Why Can't We Be Friends? It is possible, wherever you come from, whether you're a Democrat or Republican, to be friends. And for many years, I was a Republican. And as I've said on this show, in 2011, I left the party because it no longer represented who I was. And the last term from 2010 to 2015, to be honest, a lot of people that were my friends or I was friendly with were the Democrats in the building, not the Republicans. And, you know, one of those people is someone who I am happy to say is my state senator. I live on the south side of Madison in kind of a funky area that just got redrawn technically into Fitchburg on Rimrock Road. But I am in the 16th Senate District. And my state senator is Melissa Agard, who just got elected as the Democratic leader to the state senator. And she joins us now from her office in this beautiful Capitol building. Senator Agard, good morning.
Good morning. I'm so excited to be able to spend part of my Friday with you, chatting about what's happening in this building and how it is that we're going to be able to march forward in January in the new legislative session.
Well, we're happy to have you. For those of you who don't know, you know, I've known you for a few years, having worked in the building and admired your work and what you've done. You've come up through the ranks. But those who might be listening in Richland Center or Wausau or Amory or other parts of the state, give us a little bit of background on you and kind of how you got into politics and where you're at now.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm a Wisconsin girl. I was born and raised here in the great state of Wisconsin. My ancestral heritage goes far back to farmers on the southern part of the state of Wisconsin. And, you know, I was raised with the idea that in Wisconsin, we take care of one another. And, you know, ultimately, I have family members that have voted for Republicans and family members that have voted for Democrats. And we always had the most amazing Thanksgivings and holiday celebrations coming together and really celebrating family and our heritage, the things that join us. And it's really unfortunate that over the last over a decade now in Wisconsin, our families and our communities are being torn apart based on party affiliation as opposed to really those Wisconsin values. And so I was born and raised in Madison. My parents were hippies on campus, coming from Appleton and Janesville and finding each other in the 60s. And, you know, some of the early stories of me are participating in protests with them, and also stories about who's going to stay home with Melissa, because maybe this isn't one that is safe for her. But certainly civic engagement has always been part of who it is that I am and what it is that I've grown up to be. But I never, ever imagined that I would grow up and actually have an office in this amazing building. The Capitol building to me was a place that I went on field trips, and a place that maybe if my parents trusted me enough, I could take the bus downtown by myself and wander around in the Capitol and spend some time on State Street. But very much like you, during Act 10, when Governor Walker was first elected to lead, quote unquote, the state of Wisconsin, yes, I found myself drawn to the Capitol with hundreds of thousands of other people. What I learned in fourth grade and what my four sons, my children were learning in the public schools was not connected with what was actually happening in our state government. And I very much believe that our government is here to serve the people. And that we need to figure out how to get government back on the tracks for the people of the state of Wisconsin, as opposed to in the best interest of a few folks in the Capitol building who have powerful connections. And that's why I ran for office. You know, my sons now are 24 and 22, 17 and almost 13. And those two older ones, one of the most amazing gifts they ever gave me was holding a sign in the Capitol building during the Act 10 protests that simply said solidarity. And to me, as the mom of four boys, boy, I celebrated them lying on the floor of my kitchen and using crayons to draw that sign, because they weren't typically in solidarity with each other. So they chose not to beat each other in the way that brothers do, in all the love, and stand up for the state of Wisconsin. And I took that role, took that lesson, and here I am in the Capitol building so many years later, hopefully making the state of Wisconsin be a better place for them and for all of our families.
And you started in the state assembly, correct, Senator?
I did. So I was elected to the state assembly in 2012, and I served four terms in the state assembly representing the 48th district, which is the north and east sides of the city of Madison. And then when Senator Miller announced that he was not going to run again to be the senator for the 16th district, I had a strong conversation with myself about the opportunity that was affording me and the opportunity it would afford for folks across Wisconsin. And my kids cheered me on. They were my most amazing partners in this. And you know what I did is I ran a Senate campaign in the midst of COVID. And I came in and had my freshman session in the Senate in a COVID year. And that was, I think, I don't know if what I experienced in the Senate is really what the Senate is, because things in this building they're a little bit unpredictable already. And then you add that layer to it, it was a wild ride. But just this last week, I am so honored that and really humbled that my Democratic colleagues elected me to be their leader in the state legislature.
And congratulations to you on that. As someone who worked for a leader of their party, I worked for Dale Schultz when he was majority leader, worked a lot with the former Democratic leader, Judy Robson, at the time. And they always had a very collegial partnership. They didn't always agree, but what they did agree is they were going to run the Senate together in a way that was respectful of the institution, which is a term we hardly ever hear anymore, that we're going to have the institution, the Senate, act like adults, and also uphold the values of Wisconsinites. So it's a lot of what the Democratic and the Republican leader roles are to try to set an example for everyone else that our government can work. And I think you're the perfect person for the job. So congratulations on that. If you could explain to our listeners, if you could, please, because I think there are Democrats who might be listening today that just need to hear from you and understand. A lot of times we saw Gen Z get involved in this election like never before. And they're idealistic and they're full of energy. And then over the next couple of years, they're going to say, The Democrats aren't getting our things voted for that we want. Can you explain how the Senate works, what things you can't do, but also what things you can do as the Democratic leader in the state Senate?
Yeah, so I think that is a really important thing for us to focus on, because oftentimes people will say, oh, well, Tony Evers is the Democrat and he's the governor and clearly he's not effective. So that means that it's because, you know, the Democrats aren't effective. But the bottom line is that the governor is only going to be able to be as effective as the legislature is. And our legislature in Wisconsin is inherently broken. We've been gerrymandered about 10 years ago, and then gerrymandered on top of gerrymandered districts again this year, on top of the fact that we've had very powerful Republican majorities in the legislature in both houses for over a decade. And the Republican leaders have the ability to decide which bills are going to be heard, to even enter into a committee hearing, to allow people to raise their voices. So there's great ideas out there that we know that the vast majority of the people of Wisconsin support, like access to clean water, ensuring that our kids and our family members can eat the fish that they catch, knowing that the deer that are harvested this weekend are going to be healthy for our families to be able to consume. Knowing that our schools are doing everything that they can to make sure that our kids are educated so they can take over where we leave off, and that they do that in Wisconsin, that they choose to put their roots down here. Knowing that hunting and shooting is a big part of our heritage in the state of Wisconsin. My family owns guns. My kids are better because of the fact that they took hunter safety and they are able to go out and shoot and have fun with it. But there are some people that shouldn't have access to guns. And most people in Wisconsin agree that we need to do something to address that. How do we address the suicide epidemic that we are facing in the state of Wisconsin? How do we support families that are struggling with opioid addictions and fentanyl deaths? That is a story that I have heard from so many people all across the state of Wisconsin. We have policies that will address every single one of those issues and so many others, but the Republicans aren't even allowing them to come up for public hearings because the person who introduces them is a Democrat. And that is not the Wisconsin way, right? In Wisconsin, our state started because we would come together and build barns for each other. Mm. Our state used to be the type of state where we would have casseroles and soup in our freezers and we would take them out when our neighbors were not feeling well or there was a challenge that they were experiencing. We know we are better when we see one another and we are better when our government works. But when the government is completely lopsided, as it's been for over a decade, it makes it very hard for us to be able to actually get the things done that matter to families in Wisconsin at their kitchen tables. And, you know, as a mom of a young man who's decided to take up residence in New York State, I want Wisconsin to be a place where our kids want to stay because I know that the best business leaders are going to come from our colleges and universities, that the best tradespeople are going to be educated and rolling up their sleeves within our unions and with the people who make our, you know, clear our roads and take out our trash. We want those folks to stay here. We want the best teachers and the best healthcare providers. But right now we're investing in them and they're choosing to leave the state of Wisconsin. In order to make that work, the legislature needs to get out of this gridlock and realize that we are all here because we care about the state of Wisconsin, because we love the state and we want to make it better, not because we want to tick up partisan wins for for talking points.
One of the things I love that you touched on there, and I think that's why the Democrats made such a wise choice in making you their leader, is I think from a former Republican standpoint, I think one of the mistakes Democrats made was to only focus on urban issues. And there's nothing wrong with that. A lot of those are very important. But you just talked about hunting, that, you know, using guns for hunting is a part of our heritage. Other things, you're someone who knows and has been around all parts of the state and can bring that perspective of unification, so I love that. We've got about 3.5 minutes left, Senator Agard, the new Democratic leader for the state Senate in Wisconsin. Can you share with us some of your caucus's agenda, your agenda moving into the new legislative session? We had Dr. Jill Underly, superintendent for Wisconsin, on earlier talking about public education, perhaps education in the new legislative session, but what are things that you see in the new session?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll try to be concise about this. We know that Wisconsin has a close to $5 billion budget surplus on top of the fact that we're going into our biennium budget in January. We need to get that money back into our communities. We need to give that to our town boards, our city councils, our county boards. We need that to our school boards. We need to give that to the hardworking taxpayers of the state of Wisconsin, because that's really where the rubber meets the road. We saw an unprecedented number of communities that were holding referendums simply so they can pay their police officers and their firefighters. And that is not sustainable. That is not how it is that we build a Wisconsin to be able to move forward. And I think that those are bipartisan issues that we can agree on. So I look forward to working on that. We need to get the Senate back to work. One of the very most important things that the Senate does is confirmations for boards and commissions and secretaries. And no other body can do this. And the peaceful transition of power, we've been talking about that in our country for a couple of years now. Mm-hmm. That includes boards, commissions, and appointments that are made through the governor's office, through the administration. And sitting on our hands and doing nothing is not okay. If someone's not up for the job, vote them down, but let the governor put someone else out. Let people get to work. That is going to be another priority. And, you know, you talk about personal priorities. I've been a huge champion for cannabis legalization in the state of Wisconsin for nearly a decade. We are an island of prohibition, and I know we will be more safe, secure, and prosperous when we treat cannabis the same way we treat alcohol. It must be taxed and regulated. Let's bring it out of the shadows. It's a very prosperous industry right now. It just happens to be an illicit industry. It will be safer when it's above the board.
And what's really interesting, that Marquette Law School poll, I believe now legalization of cannabis is over 50%, close to 60%. Wisconsinites are in favor of that. So,
It's well over 60%, and over 50% Republicans support legalization of cannabis now. It's a non-starter. Anyone that would win their election with those numbers would know it was a landslide.
I think you're the perfect person for the job. I'm proud that you're my state senator. I'm proud to have known you, and knock him dead. You're going to do great. And I love the fact that you're so inclusive. And we had one of my friends on who is a former member of parliament in Denmark. And he was on the show earlier this year, or this week. And I said, why are people in Denmark always so happy? Why does it always rank at the top? He said, because we trust and believe in the best of people. And that's why I hear State Senator Melissa Agard saying today, the new Democratic leader of the State Senate, knock him dead, Senator. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Take care.
All right. Have a wonderful day. State Senator Melissa Agard with us this morning, the new Democratic leader on the Todd Allball Show. Back with more. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show for a Friday, the 18th of November, 2022. Coming up on 10:51. Here pretty soon. At the top of the hour, join Kristen Bry and her team for a great rendition of As Goes Wisconsin. And then a little bit later on at 2 o'clock, you could join our friends Luke and Brian for Dueling Tangents, a great program to get your fix of sometimes opposing views. Sometimes they duel with each other. Sometimes they just go on a tangent, thus Dueling Tangents. But a great program there at 2 o'clock. At 3 o'clock, Matt Flynn in his new time slot in the afternoon, the Matt Flynn Show. He'll give you the insides on what's happening from a former Democratic Party chair perspective in the state of Wisconsin. And then, of course, our flagship program from 4 until 6, the Devil's Advocates, Crudy and Dom, in with you as they take on all issues of the day, all comers, all detractors, all Republicans. Well, not all, maybe. But they do it in style. They're irreverent. They're entertaining. They're intelligent. That's the Devil's Advocate from 4 until 6 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Some would even say it's the greatest show on the radio.
Some would say, I'm sure, I'll say it.
Okay, all right. Then it's at least three. It's at least you and Dom and Crute.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We only can hope to get close to their level at some point as we move on. Almost to week one, end of week one of our show, and it's been great. It's been great from my perspective just to have everyone along and having our fine guests here, and it's going to be another great week next week as we continue on down the trail. As we said earlier, Aaron and I, after our show, are going to head on down to the University of Wisconsin-Madison campus, and we're going to take in a little bit of the Renewing Civic Life Conference down there. Our guest yesterday, former State Senator Tim Cullen, is going to be one of the speakers today, as well as former Governor Tommy Thompson. So we have a Democrat, Republican. We also have some of our media. Jesse Opian from the Capital Times will be there. Dan Kaufman, author of The Fall of Wisconsin. Our own Dan Schaefer, a frequent contributor to this network from the Recombobulation area. He'll be on tap as well. Toya Washington from WISN 12 News. Lou Friedland, the University of Wisconsin, is the moderator. So I'm looking forward to that as to how media can do better in this world of civil discourse, how we can present things in an honest light. And that is really one of the top things that drew me to this network and made me excited to work here. And I'm so happy to be here is this idea of just presenting the truth, reporting what it is, and then having a discussion about it and seeing where we can bring all sides together.
Yeah, me too, for sure.
And as I was saying before the break, the conference that we're going to is around the life of Bill Krause, a former Republican, now would be considered a moderate Republican, worked for Lee Sherman Dreyfus, a guy that probably many of you don't remember or never heard of. Lee Sherman Dreyfus was the chancellor at Stevens Point. And we had Mayor Mike Weiser, of Stevens Point on this show earlier today. So Lee Sherman Dreyfus was a teacher, a professor. He was the chancellor at UW-Stevens Point. And his trademark became a red vest. And people would say, well, why do you wear a red vest? And he said, because when I was chancellor at Stevens Point, I always wanted the students to know who I was, so if they had a problem or an issue, they could find me, or faculty. And so Lee Sherman Dreyfus will wear a red vest underneath of his suit coat or whatever he's wearing that day. And so he ran for governor. And he was not the chosen guy. The party that, or the guy that party chose was Bob Casten, who was more conservative and who would later go on to be U.S. Senator. And so there was a primary, and Lee Sherman Dreyfus was a grassroots kind of guy. And he wore that red vest, and they had an old school bus and a group of high school and college kids. They had their own band, and they would travel around the state in this old-style campaigning, grassroots, on-the-ground method. And people connected with Lee Sherman Dreyfus. And he won, and he beat the party favorite, Bob Casten, in the primary, and then went on to be governor of the state of Wisconsin. And one of the things that Republican Governor Lee Dreyfus signed into law is some of the earliest and first recognition of gay rights in the country. A Republican. And it wasn't super controversial at the time. I wasn't really old enough to be following it then, but I kind of remember it. I've read about it. Lee Sherman Dreyfus brought people together from both sides of the aisle, as Senator Tim Cullen was talking about yesterday. I think he's going to talk today about this at this conference. When he was the Senate Majority Leader, there were pro-choice Democrats and pro-life Republicans. The issue wasn't divided by party ideologies. They found a way to come together or to have respectful discussions. And that's what I've tried as we, Aaron and I, have put this program together. I really wanted to focus this week on, yes, we've called out some things this week on mostly Republicans, but also how can we bring people together? And we're going to continue on down that road as the Todd Allball Show continues. Have some fun along the way. The show's going to develop. I want to thank some people who have made this show possible this week, and we're going to make it possible ongoing. Luke and Brian are great engineers, and Luke also stepped in to help produce the show the first day. We thank him. Evan Preston as well, a great engineer and producer. And Sage and Mike are two co-owners and executive producers, Sage Weil and Mike Crute. We thank them. And, of course, my producer, engineer, all-around great guy, Aaron Zommers. We thank you as well, Aaron, for being here this week. You did a great job.
Thanks. And thanks to Todd also just for, you know, hosting the entire show.
Well, it's been my pleasure. I owe a lot of credit to people like Ron Fruit, Phil Nee back at WRCO, who gave me my first start, Dale Schultz and Scott Klug, who taught me a lot about politics, and so many more. It's been a wonderful, wonderful week. Make it a great weekend wherever you are in Wisconsin. Keep working. Keep believing in Wisconsin. Keep believing in yourselves. Keep believing in each other, because together we're going to make it. We're going to make Wisconsin a better place. So keep banging on your drum. This is Todd Allball. Thank you so much. We'll see you next week. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.